General Meetings, Toledo, November 1974. Gospel by John Brereton.
Hymn number 11. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear? Will your anchor hold in the floods of death? Hymn number 11.
Yeah.
begin reading tonight in the book of Job, the 14th chapter. Book of Job, the 14th chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? I'd like you to keep that place for a moment and turn over with me now to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. One other verse in Acts chapter 17, book of the Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Whenever we pick up the book of Job, perhaps one thing we should bear in mind is that we are reading what is probably the oldest book in the Bible. And when we find that Job had certain questions for which he earnestly desired answers, it would be well, my friends, if we realized just how old these questions are. we might also bear in mind that the questions that Job had, the answers that he sought for, can be found in one place and in one place alone, and that is in the Word of God. Job could see that man was born to trouble. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. This life, some have sought to say, is the hell that the Word of God speaks about. We see sickness and death and starvation. We see the ill treatment of children. You pick up a newspaper today and you read of the tragedies that are going on all over this world. And we come back to the 14th chapter of Job and we find in this old, old book that Job had observed that man is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Mark those words. Continueth not. How many there are in this world today? I'm sure in the city of Toledo tonight, that are living their lives as if they are going to last forever. And the Word of God says it does not continue. It is but for a few days, full of trouble, cut down, continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Here we have the first question that I would like to consider tonight. Job looks at himself, and if I may say it reverently, he looks at God, and he looks at himself as one who is full of trouble and here for such a few days. And then he asks the question, am I to be brought into judgment with God? Is God going to take knowledge of the life of one who lives but a few days and his life is full of trouble? After all the sorrow and the heartache and the tragedy of this life, is there still a judgment that has to be faced after that? Well, my friends, we find the answer in the Word of God. We read it tonight in the 9th chapter of Hebrews. The answer to Job's question, dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? And the answer, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. After this, the judgment. I have sometimes thought, not being a doctor, I cannot say for sure. But I have sometimes thought that the hardest, most difficult thing that a doctor could ever be called upon to do would be to stand face to face with a patient and tell him that he has an incurable disease. I thought of this as I was meditating upon this chapter. I suppose that the first question that comes into the heart, into the mind of a person when he's told that he has an incurable disease is, doctor, how long? How long do I have to live? When I was in business several years ago, I knew of a man who went to the doctor and he was told that very thing. He was told that he had an incurable disease. And his question was, how long? He was told. I believe he was told about 8 months. 8 months. Well, my friends, that man went home, went out to the back of his house into a vacant yard and committed suicide. 8 months! But he couldn't face in his own mind what it was to mean during those 8 months. But suppose the doctor had had to call such a person back in a few days later, if he was still living, and say, I'm sorry, I have to change my opinion. It's now 4 months. It's now 2 months that you have just a few days, a few hours. My friends, what would it be to have to stand or sit beside someone and tell them that by tomorrow morning they would be in eternity? You know, it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 9, after death, the judgment. Job's question is answered. Is there a judgment? The answer, my friends, is yes. God tells you so. There is a judgment appointed unto man once to die, but after death, the judgment. We find in our chapter here, in Job chapter 9, that it also speaks of an appointment. Would you go down for a moment to the 5th verse? Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, that he cannot pass. Seeing his days are determined. I hope later on to turn to several examples in the Word of God of men whose days were determined. God had already established, as he has for you, my friend, just how long your life in this world is to be. The months are already determined, just like the man I was talking about. And I cannot guarantee to you, nor can anyone in this room, 8 months or 4 months or 2 months. I cannot guarantee tonight, let alone tomorrow morning. God's word, the written word of the faithful God who loves your soul, uses the word now when he speaks of the time that you have. Your months are determined. The number of his months are with God. But then we find that there is, for you who are unsaved here tonight, you who are lost here tonight, there is a further complication. And that is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is coming back to this world. He's coming back to take all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to heaven. And as far as the salvation of your soul is concerned, his coming will end any hope for your salvation. You might indeed live days, months, even years after that. But there will be no salvation for you, because God says now. And for those who turn away from God now, there is no salvation when the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Days are determined, your months are with God. But we find in Acts chapter 17, where we read tonight, that God has appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could think it's at least 50 years away? You say, if I could only be sure it won't come for another 20 years, another 10 years. Can you guarantee me 1 year? My friends, the Word of God says now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But he does tell us, the Word of God does tell us that God has appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness. Job's answer comes again. There is a judgment, and the day is appointed. But then the Word of God goes on to say, judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. God has not only revealed that there is a judgment after death, he has not only revealed that the day is appointed, but he has also revealed that the judge has been appointed too. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge in that day. The one who died and who rose again. The one who sits tonight at God's right hand in the glory, he will be the judge in that day. Appointed My friends, are you going to be there on that appointed day? Are you going to be there when God judges this world in righteousness? Don't say you don't know. Don't say that you don't know. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to that day. Just as sure as you are on your way to the school today, you're on your way to that day, to that meeting, to that place, to stand before that judge at God's appointed time. If you are without Christ as your Savior, notice the sixth verse. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Oh, my friends, how many times I have heard those words said by men in this world. Many of us here have heard them. They don't use these exact words, but they say the same thing. The words come across like this: leave me alone. Don't bother me with those gospel tracts. Don't bother me with that stuff you want to talk about. Just let me be. Let me fill my day as an hireling. Let me go on my own way. Dear friends, what a tragedy if God did just what Job said here. What a tragedy it would be if God did that with us all. Just let us go. Let us go on our way. Let us enjoy our day. Let us accept the trouble and the difficulty and try to patch it up as best we can. Try to make this world as pleasant a place as we can. And then find out that there was a judgment after death that God should have warned me about, and he didn't. No, my friend, God doesn't deal with you that way or with me. He faithfully, having loved your soul, answers the first question. There is a judgment, and it has all been established, the day and the judge and the place. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. I remember when I was just a very young man, we lived in the second story of a number of flats in a place called Verdun. And my mother became upset from time to time with a tree that grew in the backyard. The tree kept growing up and interfering with the clothesline. And during the course of the years that we lived there, I helped cut down that tree at least three times. Three times, but it grew up again. The rain would come and it would sprout, and it wouldn't be very long before my mother would be saying the same thing again. My clothes are getting dirty on the clothesline. You've got to do something about that tree. That's what Job's talking about here. The tree gets a scent of water and it sprouts up again. But notice the 10th verse. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where is he? I have deliberately skipped over verse 4. I want to come back to it in a few minutes. We find Job has now another question. Is there a judgment? Yes, comes the answer from the book of Hebrews. Yes, comes the answer from the book of Acts. Yes, comes the answer from the book of Revelation. There is a judgment. There is a judge. There is a place. The only question before us tonight is whether you're going to be there or not.
But now we find another question. Man gives up the ghost, and where is he? Where is he? Have you ever gone into a funeral parlor? Gone into a funeral home and stood beside a casket and looked into that casket and saw a body there? And the question come to your soul, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Where has he gone? Where has he gone? Would you turn over with me now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Job spoke about the number of man's months being with God. Here was a man who found out that his months had run out. Run out. He had come to the end of his months with God. Job had spoke about man continuing not. But here was a man who thought he was going to continue for a long time. I know what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And my friend, comes to your soul, to me, to each one in this room tonight, the verdict of God about this man. Thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Thy soul shall be required of thee. His barns were still there. His crops were still there. All the provision that he had made was still there, but his soul was gone. His soul was gone. Oh, I have sometimes wondered what kind of a funeral service they had for this man. He was obviously a wealthy man. A rich man. A rich man. And left there was his body. But his soul was gone. And all his provision was for nothing. If only he had read the 14th chapter of Job and realized that he wasn't going to continue forever. If only he had come in time to realize that he had to do with God. You know, back in the book of Isaiah, if I remember rightly, we have the account given to us of what is spoken of as the sundial of Ahaz. You can read the account for yourself if you want to. But you'll find there that as a sign to King Ahaz, God turned back the shadow on his sundial 10 degrees. The sundial was turned back. How many scientists have scoffed at that? In effect, they've said that God, who made the world, can't change its laws. But my friend, this man would have longed with all his soul. He would have given all his barns, everything that he possessed, to have time go back 10 degrees. If only he could go back. If only he had time. But his time was gone. Where is he? The soul is gone. But where? God has claimed it, but where is it? Would you turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke now for a moment? Gone. Where? Luke chapter 16. There was, the 19th verse, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Dear friends, God has answered our question. We now have the answer to Job's question. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? We have found in the 12th of Luke that Job was right, that man's months are in the control of God. When he says this night it will be. In the 16th chapter of Luke, we find the answer. Where is he? Where is he? There are those who have gone, like Lazarus, into eternal blessing. And there are those, like the rich man, who have gone to hell. Who have gone into a lost eternity. Who have gone, died, buried, soul is gone, into a lost eternity. Do you think the rich man in the 16th chapter of Luke would have wanted his 10 degrees? Do you think he would have longed for just 10 minutes? 5 minutes? Just long enough. Just long enough to cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But it was too late. He was gone into eternity. Gone into a lost eternity. Gone beyond the recall. Gone beyond the reach of God's love. Gone beyond the reach of salvation. Gone beyond the reach of the Savior that loved his soul. Gone. If you read the account, when he asks that someone might go to his brothers to warn them, he's told they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Word of God. They have what you have, the Word of God, the faithful warnings of a loving God who loves your soul. And warned you, there is a judgment after death. It is an appointed place, an appointed time, and an appointed judge. And it's the fool that goes beyond his appointed months without a Savior. It's the fool who lifts up his eyes in hell only to realize that there is a great gulf fixed and that he is simply at the beginning of that which will have no end, eternally lost. Now back in our chapter in Job, we skipped over one question. The question was, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. I understand that this isn't really Job's answer to the question, that it's really in the thought of an exclamation, that really what Job is saying, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one. Is there not one? No one that can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Dear friends, Job didn't know the answer to that either. In the 9th chapter of the same book, he asked the question, how can a man be just with God? And he didn't know the answer to that either. But now, if you would turn back with me to Luke's Gospel, I would like to consider who there is that can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. If you look at Luke's Gospel again, this time, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Surely here were two unclean things. Two thieves, sentenced by those who were sinners themselves as being too wicked to live, put upon a cross to die this terrible death for their crimes. Two thieves. And yet one of them ended up in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and one in a lost eternity in hell. Is there an answer to Job's question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? In the first epistle of John, in the first chapter, we read the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Oh, my friends, yes, there is one who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. God Himself has a way in which the vilest, the most sinful man in this world can be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. The Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For him it was to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Here we have two men on a cross, and there is one that stands between them. One hanging upon that center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the one of whom it's written, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ upon that center cross is the Savior that God has for you. He's the one whom God sent into this world. He's the one who came to die upon the cross for sinners like you and me. He's the one who paid the debt at Calvary, who bore the sins, who took the judgment, who endured the wrath of God against the sin of everyone that accepts Him as their Savior and as their substitute. Dear friends, He's the Savior of sinners. But is He your Savior? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, there was a thief here. There was one thief who mocked, who railed, who said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Get us off of this cross. But there was one. There was one whom that day learned that God can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He found the answer to his question. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he's given the absolute assurance from the Lord Jesus himself. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Cleansed, dear friends, clean. Was he unclean? Indeed he was. A thief, a sinner about to die for his sin. What about the judgment? The Word of God said, after death, the judgment. What about His judgment? Oh, dear friends, the Savior of sinners. The Savior of sinners was about to bear that judgment for Him upon that center cross at Calvary. And, dear friends, tonight, God's word stands, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But for so many of us here, thank God the speaker can say for me, the judgment has already been borne by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. When the thief turned to him, turn to the Savior of sinners. Turn to the only one that could save his soul. He found there was one who loved him. There was one, he found that he was welcome. He found that there was a Savior that loved his soul. And he found the answer that day. He would be with Christ in paradise. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? For the rich man, he was in hell. For this thief, he was in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, what will it be for you? Where will you be? Where will you be? Oh, you say that's for some time in the future.
That's for something for me to think about some other time. Your months are numbered. Your months are numbered. We've already read tonight of a man who ran out of months. My friend, he ran out of minutes. And he was lost forever. In spite of all God's love for his soul, he was lost. Lost. God loved him and he was lost. And my friends, if you go on without Christ, in spite of all God's love for you, in spite of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and dying for you, you will be lost forever. Lost forever. Back home in Canada just the other day, they had a lottery. A lady had bought a ticket for the lottery, and the announcement came out that she had won $1 million. $1 million. Matter of fact, she made the comment. She said she didn't want to spend 5 cents of it, because if she did, she wouldn't be a millionaire anymore. And yet the paper went on to say that just the week before, her husband had walked out on her. You can imagine what kind of stories were going around. The conjecture was, how long would it be before the husband decided he wanted to go back home? $1 million. Dear friends, $1 million. What would you do for $1 million? Well, my friends, the $1 million would not save one soul. Not one soul. That man missed out on sharing $1 million by a week. You may miss out on spending eternity with Christ by 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Our time is just about over. We have 4 minutes left before this meeting is over. 4 minutes. Dear friend, will you come to Christ in those 4 minutes? I can't even guarantee the 4 minutes. I can only repeat what God says, and that is now. But the way stands open tonight. Whosoever will may come. The same Savior that saved the thief on the cross is ready to welcome you. All he wants to hear is the same cry, the same plea, the same turning to him. And you will find, my friends, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanses from all sin. You will find that it is still a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Would you turn with me now to one last verse? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, can you say that's true of you? God has not appointed us to wrath. He's appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He's appointed the judge. He's appointed the place. But effort, how many there are of us in this room tonight that can say, thank God he hasn't appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You're welcome tonight to join the number of the redeemed. The millions upon millions upon millions of the redeemed of God that have only one song to sing. Unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The song of the redeemed, the song of heaven, unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Won't you come? Dear friends, won't you come tonight? Won't you accept the Savior that has done so much to save your soul, given so much, paid so much? The wrath of God against my sins has already fallen upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. For everyone that accepts him, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Dear friend, there is wrath. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. But tonight, there's salvation for you. There is a Savior for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you have him? Will you receive him? Will you accept him as your Savior? And will you rejoice with us, with all his redeemed, tonight, that you too have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.